Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal, opinion maker, also Couch on the Roof podcast. He's standing by. And Graham, I think it was our last conversation we had on the show about the inconsistencies of COVID mandates, and NCAA puts out their winter protocols and their rules, and yet that same rule won't apply everywhere. It does here, doesn't here, not in California, not in Michigan, but in Texas, Florida. It's just, it's crazy. And a lot of this is connected to sports. And here's Stockton, one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple things. With the 90 days, and I know, like, if you have the monoclonal antibodies or whatever after you have COVID, you can't get vaccinated. You're not supposed to for 90 days. So that may be, there may be something tied to when even you're allowed to or supposed to get vaccinated after infection. I don't know. The first time I got vaccinated, or not the first time I got vaccinated, when I got vaccinated in April, I got COVID between shots. So, I didn't have to wait that long for the second shot. They just said I could no longer have the infection. But I'm with you with like Stockton. I mean, people should have those freedoms, but the schools have the freedom to set the policy, and we have the freedom not to get on a plane or right. not to go to the game, and that's our choice too. And I think what I've never understood about the mask thing is that it's a mask. Like, I understand somebody not wanting, and out of principle, not wanting things mandated by the government and having those sort of ideas, although there are things in life that are mandated by the government that we do without thought, seatbelts and whatnot. But I can understand somebody wanting that. But it is the fight over something that really is not of massive inconvenience to be able to do something has been remarkable to me. And the thing is, but you talk about messaging on the other side. One of the things I think has been really bad is, we've known for some time that a cloth mask doesn't do a whole lot of good. And yet that was good enough for people. That should have been good enough for a long time. We should have been saying, you're supposed to wear a mask if you want to be around a lot of people in a group indoors. And it should be an N95 or a certain quality of mask that gives you some actual protection. And why that wasn't messaged to, I think there's been really crappy messaging on from the side of medicine, the CDC and whatnot, and what they don't seem to understand is there are a lot of people who don't trust them, and that only gets worse when your messaging sucks. So like you've got to be better there, and it's hard for me because I think going back to the very beginning, a lot of the reason we're in this situation is because there was needless pushback, and when it didn't need to exist. And if we had been a little more, in other words, there shouldn't have been two sides of something. There were two sides. So that said, I also think that you have to explain to people why things are happening and why they're required. And if new data is found and that changes things, that's okay. We're learning more about COVID all the time, right? Then just say it and make the adaptations. But the flip side of that is people have to stop thinking that what we knew in April 2020 is what we do now. If Anthony Fauci is being held to his comments in April 2020, that's ridiculous. Scientists are learning about this all the time. Now, are they still messaging it poorly at times? Yeah. Are there still things that I disagree with the way it's been on rolled out? Absolutely. But I just think what we choose to fight and push back on is also sometimes a little ridiculous.
I will tell you that COVID-19 has been the most disagreed topic ever in America this side of Matt Stafford.
it's funny because it's one of those things where, and I'm, you've read my tweets and columns and stuff, people probably know where I stand on certain things, but I also, a lot of what I wrote was pre-vaccine. And when people talk to me now, how worry you about this? I'm vaccinated, I'm boosted, so I'm up to date because I want to be able to live my life. And now I don't worry about it very much. I'm not trying to intentionally catch it and have to be quarantined or give it to my wife or anybody else. But I'm going to walk into an arena tomorrow night with 15,000 other people, and they don't have a mask mandate, I don't think, in Illinois. And I'm okay with that. I'm doing my job. I love my job. I'm going to, you know, visit friends, you know, when I want to. I'm going to do, you know, I've done the steps to get myself where I'm comfortable. And I think with adults, frankly, who don't want to be vaccinated, that's their choice too. Where I feel bad is, and I know lots of people who work in schools, teach and have other positions, and, you know, children who are unvaccinated, who are capable of being vaccinated, but it's not their choice. That I have a little bit, you know, a little bit of an issue. But if adults don't want to get vaccinated, I don't know what to tell you. I'm good with it. You go ahead. Just don't look for a lot of sympathy. If things go haywire.
Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal opinion maker when it comes to sports and our daily lives. Also, Couch in the Room podcast joining us on the Meyer guest line. I agree with you on just all personal choice, and hopefully it seems we're moving in the right direction, and this thing will figure out to live with it. And as new strains come out, it will hopefully spin into something that just makes people sick and it doesn't create major loss of life. We still deal with loss of life from flu and pneumonia and everything else connected to the medical world. Before we get to Michigan State's win over Wisconsin and looking ahead to that Illinois game you're covering tomorrow, from the mask and mandates that they put in and no concession food at the Breslin, how have crowds been? How has the reaction been there in East Lansing?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the crowds are a little bit smaller. It's been hard to read a little bit. Like the Northwestern game, the last home game they had, was the best crowd they've had since the mandate. But that was a Saturday at noon, and the other games were, you know, not great opponents. They were Wednesday night, you know, snowy weather, the first one especially. So it's hard to know entirely what's causing things. And then you also have, during the real peak of Omicron for a couple of weeks, it felt like I knew more people in quarantine with it than not. And so there are probably lots of people who are just unable to get there or just taking a break for a few weeks or whatever, and that's fine too. So I have not heard about a lot of incidents of like yelling or you know, 80-year-old volunteers taking tickets or anything like that. I know people who have not been able to go because they're unvaccinated, and then getting a test has been difficult. So I think it's affected the crowd. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I've been covering Michigan State for a decade now, and I've seen a lot of crowds there. There's an impact without, but I don't think there have been many issues, at least that I've heard of.
Graham, let's move on and talk about Michigan State last Friday night. I did not see that coming. You know, I never count out a Tom Izzo team that, you know, they might pull out a win and, you know, get a 71-70 win, but start to finish, total domination of the Badgers, who were playing great basketball. Just an amazing coaching job by Izzo and his staff during that week of preparation, and what the players did to execute it. It really was quality college basketball by Michigan State in Wisconsin on their home floor.
Yeah, I was surprised too. It was, I mean, they played with an edge and a purpose. You know, the level of hustle right from the beginning. I mean, they turned the ball over like four times in the first five, six possessions. And yet you saw just the racing back to make sure that didn't wind up being a fast break bucket the other way. There was a real drive within them. And then they had some great play from A.J. Hogard and Malik Hall and big buckets and big times. And I thought their freshmen played well. I think Michigan State is it can be a tough team to figure out because they don't have always a clear go-to guy. And they're good enough and they're deep enough to beat just about anybody on a given day. But, you know, they're not good enough to not play with that edge. And I think this team all year is going to be better on the road. And here's why. The road, like, this is a team that's always better when it plays like it's out to prove something. And that's the way it was early in the year when they were all trying to prove their own roles individually and themselves as a team. And I think on the road, that naturally creates that, right? It's you against the entire crowd. It's you against an entire situation. And you have to play with that edge. At home, you get a Wednesday night game against a lower tier team, and the crowd's behind you, and you're just a little less on edge, so to speak. And that's what we saw against Minnesota and against Northwestern. And so I don't trust MSU yet to play with that every game. But certainly what we saw against Wisconsin, I think you feel a whole lot differently about their chances in the Big Ten, about their chances of making a run in March. It's 6-1 in the Big Ten after winning at Wisconsin than he did after 5-1 losing against Northwestern.
Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal talk at Michigan State Hoops on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. So if they can play Illinois with no Coburn tomorrow, and I watched most of that Maryland-Illinois game last Saturday, and Illinois was living or dying by the three, and then they tried to play some setup offense, and they just had no size in the middle. So I think a big key for Michigan State for tomorrow will be whether or not Coburn goes for the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, you know, it changes a lot, right? He's a huge dude who's a great college basketball player. And you know, it'll be interesting because it's a matchup that I've wanted to see for a while with a guy like with Marcus Bingham, how he handles him. And I don't expect Marcus Bingham to be able to easily, like, push Coburn around. But you know, if Coburn doesn't go, I actually think it's a difficult scout to prepare for in certain ways because he is so much of who they are and so much of what you have to prepare for that if he's not playing, then it changes a lot. I think it hurt them against Northwestern when Pete Nance wasn't playing, and so I am curious to see what the effect of that is if when that challenge is taken away, and we'll see if Curbelo is 100% and all that, but. Certainly, it's a bad break for Illinois that you know, they're a very different team without him.
Graham Couch, Couch in the Rue podcast, wherever you download podcast, they wear triple mask. Rue will wear one, he'll wear two. I still think one of the funniest things was when it was, I think it was Kyle Austin or one of the guys from the Michigan State basketball media side, and when they announced some policy or something that show guys in hazmat suits running around, and he says, Graham Couch, Graham Couch, like in the media dining room.
What's funny is I am actually like a lifelong germaphobe, like long before COVID.
Yeah, but that's okay. I could talk to anybody about politics or their opinion because we all have the freedom of choice in America. We really do. And I see your point. I hear other points, and you know what? We're still talking Michigan State winning at Wisconsin. We had a great weekend in the NFL. Michigan now is back in the NCAA tournament hunt. Hey, man, you know, life is pretty good right now if we can just get rid of the minutiae. It really is.
I remember when Brandon Dawson once was on the bench with the flu years ago and thinking, what the hell is Izzo doing? Like, who puts a guy with the flu on the bench? Like, that's going to run through the whole team. And I refused to talk to Brandon Dawson after the game. I was like, I'm not getting anywhere near that guy.
Well, you know what? To each his own, Graham. I appreciate your time, my man. Enjoy that trip to Illinois, and we'll see if the Spartans can. Well, I'll tell you what, man. If they win at Wisconsin and at Illinois back-to-back, you're going to start thinking they can win the Big Ten, plain and simple.
Yeah, well, and then Saturday gets real interesting, right? Michigan playing a little bit better, and
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot what an 8-day stretch at Wisconsin, at Illinois, and then a Michigan team that just handed Indiana their first loss and beat the snot out of the Hoosiers, if I can use that word, due to FCC guidelines, start to finish. Same thing State did Friday to Wisconsin. It was really interesting to see both games, but you know, if they get Caleb Houston playing like Max Christie has, and Houston did Big Ten Freshman of the Week, and you get guys like Johns and Williams hitting outside shots, the paint becomes open, and Dickinson, like I said, outside of Coburn, he can own the paint against any Big Ten team, plain and simple.
I mean, pound for pound, Michigan's got talent, and I think everybody knows that. Function together, and it's certainly...
Yeah, I think, are we losing Graham a little bit? Grammy there? Yeah, I think we lost him. Anytime anybody in East Lansing, according to local, you talk about mandates. If on your mobile device you discuss Michigan in a positive way, the University of Michigan athletics in a positive way, your mobile service is interrupted. They only do that in Beijing and East Lansing.